Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad you're with us here today. Joining me today is Dr. Jill Hubbard, and glad that she is. Jill,
how are you doing? Hi, Steve. I'm really glad that you're there, too.
Yeah.
We're both here. Doing solo. Go ahead.
No, and we're totally socially distanced by several states in between.
We are.
So we're being very true to that spirit. You know, something that we talk about in working with folks a lot is this ability to hold two contradictory ideas in your head at the same time. And it became a line in the F. Scott Fitzgerald, you know, the Great Gatsby, the author there, became a line in one of his stories. But it's really true. It's really important. And during this time, it's really important that we can hold two contradictory concepts of this is really a horrible virus. This is deadly and horrible. And yet the contradiction to that is we're going to be okay. Now, that doesn't mean somebody in our family is not going to die. Mm-hmm. But we're going to be okay. And hopefully, if someone is gravely ill from this, that they're going to be comforted in those final hours, and they're going to end up with all of us one day in heaven. But if we don't hold two contradictory things, we'd get focused on just the horror and the crummy stuff. And here's the other thing. I really don't think that God has brought this on us. Now, that's always a possibility, because God could do anything. And I don't think we've brought it on ourselves. In other words, as a punishment. There might have been neglect years and years past for not getting ready for something like this. But here's the main thing. Those things, whatever is the source, just, you know, like so many things in my life, stupidity it was the reason that it happened. But what are we going to do with it? God really does want to use it, and he wants to bring glory to himself. Now, I've studied epidemics and pandemics, and there's only one epidemic that didn't increase people going to church, finding God, and accepting Jesus. Every other epidemic or pandemic, because people watched and witnessed the undying service of the Christian community, they were drawn to it. In other words, when it came time to do something, the people of the faith were so involved in ministering that the church roles increased and more people came to Christ. And that is what I'm hoping is going to happen here. And it's not going to happen by a bunch of folks walking around quoting, "God didn't give us a spirit of fear." Because that can be shaming if you're afraid. I was watching one of my with my wife last night, one of my favorite podcasters, and he was saying, you know, you ought to be, if you're not afraid right now, if you don't have a little bit of fear in you, then, you know, you might be dead. But here's the main thing. God wants us to minister, and then he'll bring glory from this horrible thing. The only epidemic where this didn't happen was in the AIDS epidemic. My brother died from it very early on, and we didn't do too well. We were so afraid, and there were some major Christian shows putting out some false truth that you could get it from hugging or mosquitoes, things like that. Big damage done. But this one, let's make this count. Let's make this important. And look, if you need some help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you want to join us on the radio, you got the wisest woman on radio right there, Dr. Jill Hubbard, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I do want to mention we're doing a lot of things here. We want to help folks, and the whole video library is open to you. Go to newlife.com, 360 videos plus, and there are really some great ones. Wise people have done these over the past few years. A lot of things are recent also. And then don't forget, we've got you can sign up for a video of the day. We send you a video that we think would be helpful for you during this time. At 5 Eastern time, I'm live, Facebook Live, trying to give you some encouragement and I'm going through some different ideas of how to get through this and take care of your fears. Also, I'm reading Kirby McCook every day through 52 stories there in the Bible out of Kirby McCook, and it's funny and it's fun, but oh, so insightful. I'm so happy to be doing this. So if you've got kids 8 to 11 or so, have them watch Mr. Kirby McCook. And there is a place on our website, newlife.com, that just says, are you looking for help during the crisis? And you just go right there. If you want to join us, Jill and I are in the studio for 2 hours today. And so you could join us at 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Eileen, Las Vegas, Nevada. And she listens on our New Life app, and it's really easy to do that. Hey, Eileen, how are you today? What's going on in your life?
Okay, well, I'm just thankful that I have God in my life and Jesus in my life, that I don't live in fear with what's going on in the world.
Good.
What really is troubling my heart today is I battle food obsession and food addiction. I'm reading your book, which I know is the answer, Lose It for Life. Mm-hmm. I just feel in my heart that God keeps leading me back to that book, and I'm just having such a hard time with the surrender. Just such a hard time. I read it in the morning. I read my devotionals. I read Lose It for Life, and I say, yeah, you know, God, I just give you my will and my life, and I surrender the food and the obsession, and bang, there I am in the pantry, you know, eating, and I'm just feeling like so hopeless today. I'm just so hopeless today because I don't know, you know, I've surrendered alcohol and drugs 30 years ago, and God delivered me from that. And you know, why can I not be delivered? What am I doing wrong? Am I doing something wrong? You know, why can't I be delivered? Or why, when I surrender, why can't I stick with it?
Okay, so when you say you were delivered from the alcohol, does that mean that, like, you woke up and you didn't want it anymore and you didn't need a recovery program or 12 steps or anything like that?
Oh, I got into 12 steps. I got into AA. Yeah, I crossed a line that I said I would never do. And I crossed that line and I said, I need help. And I got into AA. But, you know, I only stayed in AA for about 5 years. And I went back to church, and I don't go to AA anymore because church is my survival.
Okay. Well, you know what? You were there for 5 years. And for some people, they make a transition, and they're involved in church. Okay. So here's the deal. You went to meetings for 5 years, and you say that was God's deliverance, which I think is such a healthy way of looking at deliverance. But are you going to any meetings over something that I think can be so much more difficult than conquering alcohol? Are you going to any meetings over that?
No, I'm not.
So what you're saying, Eileen, is you have not approached the food the way you did the drugs and alcohol. I mean, it sounds like drugs and alcohol. You just, you know, realize this is a matter of my life here.
Yeah.
And you really did something about it. And you did a process. And, you know, we're not saying you have to choose between one or the other. I think they go hand in hand, right? Because the 12-step program is an extension of the body of Christ, because it uses Christian principles and it brings in the unchurched in a way that they feel too much shame to step into a regular church, right? But as a Christian, we have a lot of alternatives, because we also have Christian 12-step groups that are that, you know, state that Jesus is the higher power.
Life recovery.
Right. Life recovery. Right, celebrate recovery, those types of things. But food is so primary to our survival that I think it gets to the more primitive level. So alcohol and drugs, those are all escapes, right? And they take on a life of their own. And then you shed those, and you it's abstinence. The boundary is really clear. But with food, the boundary is not clear, because here the very thing we need for our survival is working against us. Right? We're going to it.
Absolutely.
It's like too much of a good thing
Absolutely.
Is too much, right? And we're going to it for ways in which it was never intended. It's to help us survive. It's fuel in our tank. It's not about dealing with all of our emotions and our anxieties and holding us together. It's not meant to be all of those things. That's where we need to get our sustenance from the Lord. And from people, and from people who get it. Right?
Right. That's absolutely like in when I was going to AA, and I thought about going back to AA, but, you know, they don't want to hear about the food. They don't want to hear about.
No.
Now you said life recovery, you know?
Well, and there are specific food groups. I mean, Eileen, I have tons of friends that have been in like OA, Overeaters Anonymous, for 30 years. And do they go all the time? No. But they did enough work, and then they go back during periods of time in their lives where they feel like they need the extra support. Go ahead.
Now, I've gone to AA in the past. I mean, OA in the past.
Okay.
And to me, that's like a diet. That's like a diet. You know, they want you to... At least the one I went to, you had to stay away from sugar and you had to stay away from starches. And to me, when I... Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. And so you had to stay away from sugar, starches. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like a restriction to me. And I know that it says in God's Word that, you know, we're not supposed to... Well, I don't know. Now I'm all confused here.
All right. Well just... Okay, let me talk to you for a second, Eileen. So, how old are you?
Okay, please.
How old are you?
68.
Perfect. Now...
68 years old.
Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you about starches and sugars and all that, okay? One of the things that...
Okay.
In Lose It for Life, I say, you know, you probably aren't going to help yourself by saying, I'm never going to have this again. But the older we get, the more we need to take care of our brain. And if Dr. Daniel Amen has taught me anything, it's that sugar is our biggest enemy. Sugar is the enemy of the brain and the enemy of stable emotions. And, of course, starch just gets converted into sugar. So while you don't want to live totally on a diet, you do need to have some... substitutes, whatever is really, you know, white flour, starchy, needs to be substituted with whole grain stuff that's got more fiber, you know, that kind of thing. I think you know all of that. But let me tell you what we did.
Yes.
Dave Stoop and I, just for people like you, can you believe it? We created a workbook.
Praise God.
For eating problems, just like yours. And I'm going to send it to you with a Life Recovery Bible. Now, you're going to use the 12 steps to work through this. But it would really be helpful if you had somebody to go through it with you. Two people doing this together. You need, the thing that you're lacking, I think, is some kind of accountability. When you go to of 5 years of AA, you're showing up at a meeting and you can't show up drunk. People are going to ask you about that. So it's so helpful if you could at least get one other person. But I'm going to send this to you, and I'd send something else, but we're restricted, but I'll tell you about it. So hold on, but I'm really glad that you called. But anybody else, you know, this is a great way to use the 12 steps to help you with your eating problem. But one of the best things I think I've ever done, I did it over 10 years ago, is that I did two different Bible studies for Lose It for Life. They're video Bible studies. And, you know, if your Bible study group, anybody's got to want to focus on some eating issues, of course, it talks about so much more than that. But we have those available by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But this particular workbook, it's one of four new ones. One's on grief, another one on sexual integrity, and then another one on divorce. You work the 12 steps with the Life Recovery Bible, and it really can change everything. But I'm so glad she called.
And can I just add, Steve?
She'll get back in there.
Yeah, that key component of doing it with someone. So right now, I know it's difficult, but you know, everybody's using Zoom. You know, Bible study groups are using Zoom.
Yes.
So right. Zoom, the telephone, someone to connect with, because that's part of that hunger that we have. Because so many people right now, whether they are food addicts or not, are turning to food because so many people are alone, right? And are battling their fear. So it's important to be in relationship and to get to the emotions that are fueling the overeating.
All right. If you are interested in anything that can help you with an eating problem, remember, I used to say I've kept 60 pounds off for, you know, many years. So now I'm saying I've kept 50 pounds off for many years. A little bit's come back. All right. So, but it's always good, you know, I have a ceiling, and once I hit the ceiling, then I start doing some more work on it. All right, let's go over here, and how about we talk with Valerie. She has called us at 1-800-229-3000. We're live on Facebook. And by the way, this broadcast is over. When we tape another one, we broadcast that taping live on Facebook Live. So go there. All right, let's talk to Valerie from Pasadena. What a great station she listens to, KKLA. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Can you hear
speak
me?
Right up there, Valerie, so we can hear you all the way out here in Indiana.
Okay, can you hear me a little better now?
Yes, I can. I sure can. Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks. I guess my question is about church. I have been to actually four different churches, and I've spent at least a year in each one. Mm-hmm. But this church that I'm in right now, I don't know. Like, I hear you guys say a lot that what about me is making, like, these things happen in my life, and I don't know if it's...
What's happening?
I want to know if it's me. I feel like I'm
okay, what's happening?
Being, like, abused in the churches that I go to.
Okay, be specific. Tell us
like,
what's happening.
Could that be four different times?
So the same thing keeps happening in each church?
Yeah, like, a little bit different, but for the most part, like, the same kind of thing where I just feel like I'm being sort of picked on, I guess.
Okay, and Valerie,
tell us
when you first go to the church, is there like a honeymoon period where you think it's going to be great, and then slowly these things start happening, or is it right from the get-go?
There might be like a honeymoon period in the beginning, and I think I try to be really hopeful, that this church is finally going to work.
Okay.
But I do notice things from the beginning also, and then it just gets a little worse, like, throughout the time I'm there.
Okay. And are you going to these churches not knowing anyone, so you're brand new? Do you know people at these churches?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I go with my husband and I have two small young children.
Okay. Okay. And is your husband seeing this as well?
That's the thing is he'll listen to me, but I feel like he gets kind of frustrated because every church that we go to, it's kind of like I end up having a problem and then we have to leave. But he wants, like, he joined the worship team at our church. And I feel guilty even talking to him about what's happening, so I haven't even told him what's been happening at this church.
Okay. Okay. Well, We're going to put our heads together at the break, Steve, right?
Yeah.
And come back.
You're listening. You are listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. If you've never thought about supporting a ministry, how about supporting a ministry at a time when it needs your support the most? 1-800-NEW-LIFE to do that.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. All right. So Valerie is telling us about crummy church experiences, and the husband on this one, this is the fourth crummy church experience, he's in and on the worship team, and he's frustrated, so Jill is going to help her, and when she's done, Valerie will have a total new perspective and walk out of wherever she is with a new life and ready to be involved healthily in church. Okay, Jill, go for it.
No pressure.
Let's hear it.
Okay, but Steve, we said first we want an example from Valerie.
Yeah.
Valerie,
yeah,
can you give us an example of what starts to feel hurtful?
I feel sort of mocked, I guess. Like, if, like, the pastor, one of the pastors is a female, the main pastor, and, like, she had asked, like, during one of the sermons, like, if whoever wanted to share their story, like, for the first time, to write it out and send it to her. And so I did. I sent it to her in an email. And then after, when she got back to me, it was kind of just, like, picking at, like, kind of mocking everything about, like, what I've been through. And it just, since then, it's been, like, in, like, group settings. Like, I go to a marriage group with my husband, to her house with her husband. And, like, if I share, it's, like, it feels like whatever I'm saying is, like, mocked back at me. And even when she preaches sometimes, it's, like, it feels like it's directly aimed to me.
So Valerie, you made yourself vulnerable and opened up. And you didn't get a response that felt good. But it sounds like now it's feeling like somehow you shared maybe too much, and everything that the pastor is saying feels like it's hitting that vulnerability. Does that make sense?
Because you went to her
and you had an expectation. Go ahead, Steve.
Does your husband, when you, like, in the couples group, and you feel like you're being mocked, when you leave there and you talk about it, does he share that view with you that he thinks, wow, she was really picking on you? Or does he say, no, I don't think so?
I don't really talk about it with him, but I don't think he would think so.
Okay.
He wouldn't think so. Okay, that's important to know. Okay, Jill.
Right, because there's a sensitivity that comes with being vulnerable, and I think there is a hope in wanting to go to someone, and someone who's in a position of, you know, authority and power. And, you know, pastors can often be, you know, substitutes for parents, and we project a lot onto pastors, and we expect a lot from them. And I'm wondering if your story involves hurts that have happened perhaps from your own parents, from an earlier time, maybe from other people in your life, perhaps childhood, that you're still trying to resolve. And you're still wanting someone to look into your story and to care enough and to really see you.
Yeah, that's exactly. And the counselors, like, I love New Life so much, and I've gotten the most help from just workshops and stuff that I've been through New Life. But even my counselor, like, the counselor I have is not a New Life counselor, but she, I was doing really well with her, and then I had shared with her about my husband, that he had, like, addiction to pornography, and then she kind of got mad and was like, you can't deprive him from it completely. Like, if you take it all away from him, then what is he going to do? And I was sad because it's like, my husband's in 3 years in recovery, and then I thought I was doing really good with my counselor, and I felt like it just kind of blew back on me. Like, I can't trust her. Like, she doesn't want the best for me.
Okay, so Valerie, You may have a difference of opinion there, and that's okay. So part of therapy, I think, that would be really helpful, because this is where you're running into trouble at the churches, is that when you hit up against conflict, when you hit up against disagreement, you get scared and want to run away, and it feels persecutory, instead of, oh, as adults, we disagree sometimes, and we need to find our voice, and we need to see who is safe enough to talk it through with. And so with your therapist, that's the perfect place to try to learn to tolerate the discomfort and to say, you know what, that hurts me when you say that, because I've gotten all this other information, and that's not how I'm looking at it. And I thought I was doing well here, and this is hard for me to have a disagreement with you.
Yeah. See, that's where it's a relational, therapeutic experience versus always evaluating the therapist, saying, you know, what you might think is appropriate, and then you really come out, or you think, well, it's not appropriate to disagree with this authority figure, whatever, and then you don't, and then you leave. In the same way, I mean, you need to have a conversation with this pastor.
Right.
That, and you need to just, and I would start this way. I'm here because I want to be part of this church where my husband's on the worship team. And I might be overly sensitive, I might be misinterpreting some things, but I'd like you to know how I have felt when you've talked about certain things. If we could just talk about that a little bit. And hopefully this woman would be open, not defensive. Now, if she was defensive, then I would, and I would might even say to my husband, honey, if she's defensive, that's going to say something. But if she's willing to hear my heart, that's going to say something else. And if she's willing to hear your heart and not shame you or judge you, then that's something to go back into that counselor with and say,
right,
I don't want to run from this church. I want to make it right. We'll take a break. We'll come right back for more of New Life Live.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. You know, if you're home alone, I've got 10 things to do when you don't know what to do. You can find that on our little web, on our homepage there. It says, are you looking for things to do during a crisis? And many of you know Marie Kondo. Is that it? Is that right?
You mean we can get really obsessive?
No,
no. Okay,
I,
no. She's got
you,
good stuff.
You,
that
she,
was a joke.
Has,
really, I like her stuff.
She has, okay, how do you feel about that? But anyway, it is it is a great time. You've got extra time to do some condo closet cleanout. And
I
you
think
know,
I have lots of other things to do.
Well,
sorry.
One of the things she says to do is take all your clothes and put them in the middle of the room.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Then if it doesn't bring joy, well, you know. Maybe another way to do that, like I've got garden shoes that have things on them that I wouldn't want to throw in the middle of the floor. But anyway, I just say, here's what I would say.
As long as you're not drowning in it.
Here's what I, you know, I'm a good Willian, and, or a good Willard, whatever. But maybe you take your stuff and you evaluate. Do I use this? Do I wear this? Or could I take it to Goodwill and somebody else benefit more than this thing hanging in my closet. That, to me, is so helpful. It's a great time to do a little
Work on your environment, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't affect your mind, right?
Right. Speaking of environment, we operate in one, and we need help with this, and Larry Sonnenberg is going to talk to us a little bit. But first, Larry, let's talk about the new amazing Everyman Battle experience.
Everyman's Battle, yes. We are ready to take your registrations today. So call us. We're going to do a virtual Everyman's Battle workshop. Jason Martinkus will do the main sessions virtually. Then you'll do a virtual meeting alone with your group leader. It's going to be April the 18th, and it's a long session all day, but it's back and forth. You're going to get the whole thing that you get had you come to the weekend workshop live. It will be intensive, and it will be helpful, and you're going to find that you'll be on the path and road to recovery. So I really want you to sign up. All you need is a computer or tablet with audio and video capabilities.
Wouldn't a cell phone, FaceTime, or
you
a Zoom?
You can do that, too.
Maybe or Skype. I don't know. No,
maybe this, you do need, this is Zoom.
Okay. You can do it on your phone, too.
All right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. See, you're going to be in a Zoom meeting with a therapist, see? So mm-hmm. It's going to be group, but you're not going to be in the same room. You're going to be socially distanced, mm-hmm. but it's going to be, you just have to, all right, and here's the other thing. It's never been less expensive, and you're not paying for travel, so come do this now, and it's just the perfect time to get this taken care of.
And your first month's Sustained Victory is included in the registration.
Oh, nice.
There you go. Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
That's a great deal.
Sustained Victory.
We are all learning new skills, right?
Yeah.
Which is good for our brains.
Yes. Sustaining your victory is a really good idea. Yeah. All right. And what else, Larry?
Well,
we need some help.
I want to be quick. We just need to continually bring to you that we need some more financial support. We've been getting some. It's been very grateful for what we have gotten. But the challenge is big right now. We really would like you to join Club New Life in addition. If you want to make just a single gift, whatever you're able to give, it makes a difference. It allows us. We could not have done this Everyman's Battle Sustained Victory, Everyman's Battle Virtual Workshop unless we had support and some creative thought to go in to make this happen. But we need your help.
Yeah.
Well,
we
right
really
now.
Now, the good news is we've had some people significantly help us for the first time givers. And so I'm so grateful for that. But you be the next first time giver to come along. Jill, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, this is not a time to put your recovery on hold.
Right.
So much of life is on hold. And this, in times like this, this is where addictions flourish. And so, you know, most people do have some extra time now. So why not now?
And call us whatever your issue or your need mm-hmm. is right now. Just call 800-NEW-LIFE, and we can help you with what you're struggling with. We would really... go ahead.
No, I'm just going to... And if you're thinking somebody else ought to call, you call.
Yeah.
And find out the information, and then tell the person that you think ought to call, you need to check into this. Anything else you want to add, Larry?
No, just I want to say to the people who have been really financially hurt, lost their jobs, just economy issues have meant that you're really struggling. We're not asking you to step up. We're asking you to just call us and get the help you need. We're talking to the folks that still have the ability, the willingness to make a gift, mm-hmm. to continue giving, to increase your Club New Life gift, whatever you can do.
Okay. Thank you, Larry. You know, you might think that we interrupt each other here, or me more than anybody else. There's a little time lag between Indiana and California is the problem. And so sometimes we'll miss it. I just want you to know there's no intention of being rude. Right. Thank you, Larry. Larry's done so much hard work here. And we are doing everything we can to reach out and help people in brand new ways. Let's go to Stacy. By the way, if you want to join us now or over the next hour and a half, 1-800 that's 229-3000. Stacy's in Los Angeles, and she's on a Facebook group, and we're glad that she is. Hi there. The group is asking this question, I see on a note. So, Stacy, how are you?
But, well, I'm doing good if I were a woman, probably, huh?
Stacy, I'm so sorry that I did that. I used to be called Stevie, and that was a woman's name also, and so I know how that can affect you. But let me tell you, everything in me, you sound like a man, so thank you for that.
Well, you guys, this is Stacy Scott. I'm with NAM Ministries, and we talk all the time, and I know, Alice, you've helped me through a whole lot, and I appreciate that, but I have a group on line right now on a watch.
Yeah.
And there's just a couple questions, and I'll just let you guys talk. The first question is, there are a lot of people locked down right now with narcissistic individuals, and they're struggling with it. And they want to have some answers of how they could deal with it in this time of being locked in with them. They can't go anywhere.
Right.
And the second question, I can wait for that, or you can answer this now.
Well, let me ask this. Do you know from the group there a specific example of something that's really, really difficult that the narcissist doing, or two or three things that just make it almost unbearable to be around them? Can you think of anything like that?
I only can think of, I can tell you that I get emails and DMs all the time. And one of the things that they're dealing with is the verbal abuse, not being able to get away from the verbal abuse.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's emotional. On this lockdown period, you can actually, it's hard to walk out, but usually you can just walk and go someplace. And it's harder to do if there's somebody that has an underlying condition. Mm-hmm. And to go out and be exposed to the elements, and then bring it back, so they have to stay in it and deal with it. And unfortunately, a lot of these people have underlying conditions, and they are narcissists, which makes it harder.
Yeah. Right. It's like being in prison with a nurse ratchet or a mean warden of the prison. So, Jill, you want to start us off here? Great question.
It is a good question. Not all narcissists are the same, right? Because they are at different places in the continuum. Some people just have a lot of traits and features, and others are full blown. But, you know, narcissists, just generally speaking, kind of the caricature, they kind of live in their own world and make their own rules. So it's kind of very difficult to have other people's rules imposed upon them. And so in some ways, it's like having a caged animal. And it's important to remember, and even though this isn't fair or right, that most things are about them. So you're not going to get very far if you just are very combative with them and, you know, are telling them to grow up and everybody's struggling. And so you have to lean into them and show some empathy for their discomfort, because they don't do well with being uncomfortable. And usually the person closest to them, they think, really wants to hear that. So you may have to endure hearing some of their discomfort and acknowledge that. You have to kind of give them some empathy first before you can then ask something of them.
And then when we come back, I want to give you an approach that feeds into their narcissism to try to help them.
Well, to have it
maybe
work.
Make a change.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that you're trying to give a healthier view of that than feed into. Is that right, Jill?
No. Okay. No, I'm. Yeah. We'll talk. It'll be
all right.
Good.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be here for another program right after this. Really glad you're with us today on New Life Live.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we are talking with Stacy from a group chat, and then I'll hear the second question after that, and we'll get the other callers in the next program that we're going to take. But Stacy, an approach would be this to the narcissist. You know, I remember when just being with you, gave me a feeling of life and strength. Just your persona was so positive and encouraging. And, you know, I was drawn to you. People are just drawn to you. And since we've been confined here, there's something I've noticed more than ever, and I just want to ask you about it. But when you say things, it feels so mean to me. It's like a knife piercing me. And I started thinking, something that maybe I'm not aware of must have happened, that you could go from this life-giving, this positive, just so engaging person to me, to someone that feels like you're cutting at me and cruel and mean. And I just wanted to know, is there something that I've missed that I don't know about you that's caused this change? Because it's really painful for me during these times. So the thought would be, perhaps the person would talk about that, perhaps not, but when they walked away, maybe they would think it through a little bit more than they have before. Because you're not shaming them.
Mm-hmm.
You're building them up, and then you're just saying how it feels to you. You're not saying they're cruel.
Right.
You're saying it feels cruel. Okay? So that's my bet. Now I'm going to send you understanding and loving a person with narcissistic personality disorder. And anything you ever wanted to know about this is in there. There are better answers in there.
You have it?
I have that. Right, I have that.
Okay.
Great book,
all
by
right.
the way. And as a matter of fact, I've referred that out to the entire group.
Oh.
over 300.
Okay. Now, so here's what I'm going to do. I have a copy of a book that's out of print that Dave Stoop and I wrote. Listen to the title. When Someone You Love Is Someone You Hate. I'm going to send that to you. So when you get off, I have to send it out of my office here because nobody else has one. But I'll send that to you. Does that ring a bell to you at all when you hear that title?
Oh, it absolutely rings a bell and actually leads me to the second question because this is just awesome information. I hope you can answer this quick. But what you just said, it makes complete sense to me, especially after you guys helping me through a whole lot. But a lot of these people that go online into these chat groups and to these pages, it's highly negative. And how healthy is it for them to be engaged in those online communities where they're negatively bashing and there's really no movement? So you would say, sit down and be nice and just approach them like this. But then they would say, because of the hurt, well, I'm not going to do that. I usually don't know these people. I'm the bad guy. So
So those are the people in relationship, the spouses?
Correct.
Right. Well,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. In the beginning, a person needs a safe place to express their anger, frustration that maybe they've held back for years, right? So there needs to be a chat room A, and there needs to be a chat room
B.
2.0, you could say,
where we're
moving on. We're moving on, and we're growing. So I would just say it's not unhealthy in the beginning, but it's very unhealthy to stay there. And the difference is, one, you're still in reactive living that we talk about in Take Your Life Back. And then the other, now this is what I've got. How am I going to respond rather than react that might produce a different outcome?
Right. And especially in the beginning, I mean, to live with a narcissist and to never be validated, to never get to have a point, to always have to cross your T's and dot your I's, you know, these spouses are ready to explode. And so one of the things to have that chat room A, because it's better to explode there than on the spouse, because that's not going to be effective.
Now, Stacy, hold on, because I'm told here, I want you to hold on a second. I'm told we really ought to hear from Bill before we get off this phone. So, Bill, hi, you're on with Stacy and Jill and Steve. What did you want to say?
I'm a recovering narcissist, if there is such a thing.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I was tested professionally.
Did you hear that? He said, what? Okay. Awesome.
My wife and I and she has her master's in psychology, but went through this for 20 years of difficulty, 18 years of difficulty because of this disorder that I have. But I wanted to communicate, there is hope. There is hope. If you love that person when you got married, there is hope because they are still there. Yes, they are confused, and yes, it is difficult. But the only thing, and this is going to sound so trite, the only thing on either part has to be really complete and thorough forgiveness, or it doesn't work. And we have been to a lot, you name a seminar, we have been there to try to get worked out whatever it was that they were working on or whatever they had to make our marriage work. But it doesn't
work. Okay, so let me ask you this, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Why do you think, how did you get over the bridge? What happened that where you said, I'm going to try to fix this versus defend myself? What happened?
Great question.
Fix the marriage?
No, you said, I'm a narcissist.
You came to a
reckoning
with yourself.
So rather than a lot of guys rationalize or defend, you said, I want to do something about this. What was that was so important to you that you kind of went against all odds? What was that?
I had a test done professionally because of difficulties, issues, memory issues, and things that I had. And my wife and I were sitting down one day, and she started reading the results that were, and the fact that I was a narcissist never was mentioned by the professional counselors. It was in the document, but it was never told to me. And maybe it's because they thought there was no chance. But when my wife read that to me, I felt like it was the kiss of death. But I realized I have this problem. I really do have this problem. And it's a disorder. Mm-hmm. It's not just because I think so highly of myself. It permeates all my thoughts. Mm-hmm. And so I began consciously trying my best not to say something when I was upset and when something happened that I didn't like. I had to learn the pattern of forgiveness.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad that you called Bill. And Stacy, I hope that hearing Bill say this gives you a little bit of hope. And I'm just going to, pray that this has been a good meeting of the minds here. And Stacy, hold on. I need to get your address because if I don't get it, then I can't send you this other little book, okay? All right, you hang in there. Well, we are out of time. And if you've got a problem with sexual integrity, we've got a great workshop coming up. Now, we plan on things getting back to normal here, and so we've got other workshops coming up, Restore, Intimacy in Marriage, Finding Freedom. And if we don't do them the way we've normally done them, we'll convert them to the way we're going to do Every Man's Battle. There are a lot of resources at newlife.com. I hope to see many of you at Facebook Live at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. But pray for us, and if you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and I will I'll be so grateful, and so will the other folks that need your help. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.